I got to say, this is how dedicated I am to this show. I just picked up Dark Knight Book 4 today, and I'm not reading it so I can be on this show. If I get distracted and I'm not talking for a while, I'm probably reading.
These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. Some of them are David's,
but most of us are Dave's.
They all have their own hands, but they come from different mums.
Welcome to Dave, Episode 5. This week, the 10th Doctor, David Tennant.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows.
These are the Daves.
Hey everybody, welcome to Dave. I'm the Green Caribbean.
I'm Octopus Caveman.
And this is Dave. Oh man, how was your week? I had an exhausting week.
Same here, man. I feel like I did nothing but work.
Yeah. Okay. Right. All right. Let's get right into the Dave news. All right. Let's get the Dave news.
Worst episode. Let's just bitch about our lives right off the bat.
No, I mean, it was crazy work week, but I had the most bizarre thing happen to me, and it's not particularly funny, just weird, where my wife and I were driving around over the weekend, and we were stopped at a traffic light, and then just this huge flock of birds surrounded our car, and one of them just thud, hits the window, and committed suicide on our car.
That's nuts!
We weren't even moving, we were stopped at a light, and one bird just wasn't looking, and boom, hit the window.
Oh, man. I was thinking, like, I remember once I went into a 7-Eleven, and there was, like, a big truck parked there, and I looked over at the grill, and there was just a piece of a wing stuck on it. But I've never seen a bird just straight up kill themselves like that. I mean, I guess it happens with buildings, right? It must.
And then I run through my head. It's like, okay, if I had I rolled down the back window, would it have just flown right through the car?
If you would have had a Jeep, that thing would have lived. This is the bummer episode already. Just like, yeah, I had a shitty week and a bird died.
You know, to make up for my lack of excitement this week, a couple of kind of cool things happened to other people.
Let's get into that.
So I listened to a podcast called Drunk Space Nine, which is a podcast where they review each episode of Deep Space Nine, but they do it drunk.
That's a brilliant concept. I don't know that I could stay on topic drunk, though. This show is a testament to that. I can't stay on topic sober.
So what happened was they're only like a few episodes in, and they're active on Twitter, and they are constantly tweeting the cast members of Deep Space Nine, and the guy who plays Odo on that show, Rene Auberjonois, he actually responded and listened to an episode and said, "Keep up the good work."
That's awesome. He seems like a righteous dude. I think you did an all right with the pronunciation on his name, too. That's one of those ones where I just get real quiet as I say it. Like, oh, I come in hard with a Rene, you know? Oh, Rene.
And then the other cool thing that's happening right now, and I wanted to give a shout out to these guys, the Mr. BS Show, they are putting together an audio play based on a script written by Matt from the Mr. BS Show about Star Wars.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they're adding a whole bunch of like audio production to it, and just a bunch of friends, myself included. I have a little small part as a droid. It's called Whispers of the Sith, and they release each episode on the Rebel Scum Report, which is a Star Wars podcast. So if you're a Star Wars fan, man, go check it out, because it's just super cool. The story's good. The audio production is good. The acting, meh. And I say meh because I'm involved.
It would be amazing if you were just like slamming everybody but you. It could be better. I mean, they're just not up to my level.
No, they're good. I'm the weak one. And what's really sad about it is I'm playing a protocol droid. And so you would think that that would be an easy layup for a part. But, you know, I'm doing my best.
Dude, I don't know. Yeah, because, I mean, you don't sound like Anthony Daniels. So, like, I don't know what else a protocol droid would sound like.
Protocol droid, I just go with the speech pattern. Because there's no way I could pull off any kind of British accent. That's just not in me.
And yeah.
So I just go with the staccato speech pattern of C-3PO. in my voice.
That's a smart way to go about it. Yeah. If I tried the British accent, it would be like the Cockney droid, just like, hello, app. It would be so offensive.
Oi, Master Luke. What that, you got there?
That's a good direction. Maybe try that for the next one.
I think I might.
They're like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oi, poppet.
I don't think I have a voice that I could do a convincing robot. I think I would sound like a drunk robot.
And what would that drunk robot sound like?
C-3PO, human cyborg relations.
Actually, you could just do Bender from Futurama. There's your drunk robot.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Boy, I'm trying to think of other great robot voices from the past. Hal? Could have gone with Hal.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, Dave. Way to bring it back around for the Dave.
Thanks, man. I try.
And, I mean, then there's the Lost in Space robot, right? The danger, danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah, or Kit.
Oh, Kit. Kit is perfect. Another British person. Yeah. Robots should sound like Brits.
Oh, totally. Oh, there was an episode of The Simpsons where Pierce Brosnan played a robot.
Yes, yeah, the robot house.
Yeah. 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 There's something about a British voice playing a robot that just makes it really cool.
And sort of creepy.
A little bit.
Have you seen that Star Wars baseball card where it looks like C-3PO's got a boner?
Yep.
It's so great.
Yep. He's got like a gold rod sticking out from his crotch.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Little Mermaid cover with all the dicks all over it?
God, yes. Yeah. That one is pretty rough. They should do a whole series of Star Wars cards with just all of the characters with a boner. Just like a little Jawa with a tent in their robe, you know? I want to see this.
Didn't that also happen in Aladdin?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a little... is it Aladdin? I know there's one in The Little Mermaid when there's like the wedding on the boat.
It's Little Mermaid.
The preacher gets a boner. Yeah. There's probably dicks in all the Disney stuff. Those animators must get so bored.
Oh, seriously. The animators will hide in so much dirty stuff where they can. Like in Lion King, where the word sex shows up on the screen subliminally.
I've heard that it's supposed to be SFX, which is one of the effects companies that worked on it.
Oh, okay.
If they kind of snuck it in there, but it kind of looks like it says sex.
Either that or that was the excuse they said to get it, you know, get out of trouble.
Right. There's no excuse for the Roger Rabbit, Jessica Rabbit beaver shot, though. That's just straight up filth.
That one actually I didn't know about, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, that Jessica Rabbit already is just exuding so much sex.
I'm just curious with that stuff, you know, all the like hidden Disney dicks. If that's in some way responsible for this like wave of like cartoon porn that's sweeping the internet now. Mm. Like, were these kids just like subliminally trained to dig cartoon dicks?
All right, so anything of note happened to you this week?
Nothing I care to talk about here.
Okay, then let's get into the Dave news.
Joining us now here in Los Angeles, Dave. That's his name, Dave.
You know why I love the news? It's so topical.
So let's see. This first story comes to us from the Daily Mail. The third and final season of Broadchurch has begun filming in Dorset and Somerset. Andrew Buchan and Arthur Darvill were seen filming a scene at a bookstore where the character played by Buchan is at a signing for his book about his murdered son, Danny. Olivia Colman and David Tennant were also recently seen in Dorset, resuming their roles as D.S. Ellie Miller and D.I. Alec Hardy. So,
Detective Sergeant, Detective Inspector?
I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah.
And I hope I didn't murder that guy's name. I'm going to hear from people. But yeah, so that's cool. Third and final season. Like, you know, most British shows, they just tell a nice, tight little story, wrap it up in 3 seasons, done with it. The thing that caught my eye about this story is the cities out in England, they just sound great, like Dorset and Somerset.
They do, but we have great sounding city names that kind of suck, though, too. Like Gardenia sounds like a beautiful place. It's not.
Yeah, like Hawaiian Gardens.
That's a perfect example. There's a casino that you will get robbed at in Hawaiian Gardens.
But I was just thinking, in LA, we're so damn uncreative. Like, you know, they have something like Somerset. That just sounds like a lovely place to settle down. Whereas here we have stuff like Long Beach. Like, where's the creativity there? All right, we're standing on the beach. Damn, that shit looks long. What do we call the city? Long Beach.
I will say, though, the state of California has two of the best city names ever. We have Happy Camp and Peter Pam.
Oh, all right. Okay. Those are two strong arguments, but the overwhelming names of stuff like Fountain Valley. It's a fountain in a valley.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. It's like, that's right up there with something like Otisburg.
Yeah, it is. Daveville.
All right. What do you got?
Samuel Jackson confirms that Dave Chappelle's skit about Prince was true. This is from Comedy Hype. Basically just a little quote from Sam Jackson. The legacy of the late Prince will always revolve around his iconic musical career. However, thanks to Dave Chappelle and Charlie Murphy, he will always be connected to the sport of basketball. In case you don't recall, in a particularly memorable sketch from Chappelle's show, Charlie Murphy regaled the viewership with the tale of Murphy and his comrades taking on Prince and his crew in a game of basketball. The story seemed too good to be true, but if Sam Jackson is to be believed, we can keep on believing in the powers of Prince. Anyway, more importantly, Jackson says that Prince confirmed Charlie Murphy's basketball story, adding the quote, "They had on church shoes."
I love the idea of Prince playing basketball.
I do, too, and just him being amazing at it, because he was a tiny dude.
Yeah. Yeah, but I could just see him moving like Spud Webb.
Yeah.
Just like weaving in and out of like people.
Church shoes.
What other musicians in sports can you imagine? Like Prince in basketball, that just sounds cool. But someone like Madonna, like at her age, I can only see her doing stuff like synchronized swimming.
Oh, yeah. There's not too many singers where they don't really exude that masculinity. I mean, any of the Rolling Stones doing anything at their ages, I would just imagine them breaking.
Although I do like to imagine Keith Richards on the Iron Cross with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Mick Jagger on a pommel horse just spinning around.
He might be good at that. I'd imagine, like, if Keith Richards was amazing at archery, I wouldn't be surprised. It'd be like, oh, yeah, that's Keith.
Yeah. I could see Jerry Garcia playing curling.
Yeah, yeah, he would probably blend in with the curling crew too.
Yeah.
There's an Orange County curling club. Oh, yeah. And I just happened to be at a bar one night and there was a loud group, and I started talking to one of the dudes from the group, and he was telling me all about his curling group and invited me to join. I was like, yeah, it might be interesting to try, but I never did.
I would love to join a curling group.
I mean, it's kind of just like fast sweeping, right?
Well, that, and you also have the setter.
Yeah.
The person who pushes the rock down the ice.
There's what I call shuffleboard guy and then the two broom guys. It's shuffleboard with the added fun of sweeping. Do they wear skates or are they just on shoes?
They wear church shoes.
Church shoes.
So our last story comes from ultimateclassicrock.com, and this is about the British Prime Minister. British Prime Minister mocked for recreating Beatles' Abbey Road cover. The British PM, David Cameron, visited London's Abbey Road studios and got a picture of himself walking across the crosswalk, as the Beatles did on the cover of Abbey Road. His action raised the hackles of his detractors after he posted the photo on Twitter. According to NME, one fan responded with, "Abbey Road, more like help."
I think this kind of upsets me a little bit. Like, this dude's not allowed to be a fan and do a goofy photo like we all do.
Right? Yeah. So that's why I was so scared about how I read that first name, because, man, the Brits got really mean to David Cameron. They must not like him. Someone else wrote, "Hope you get smashed by a car."
Good Lord. We gotta tone down the hate. The guy's a fan of the Beatles. Like, everybody that goes there wants to do that.
So here's the final one that I pulled, and these are for the fans of Black Mirror. The only hard day's night you get is from a pig.
Oh, dude. That's good. Well, they gotta tone down the hate a little bit. I don't hate a whole lot of people in this world, but if they did something, and I can't imagine if somebody I hated was like, oh yeah, I'm a massive Beatles fan, I'd be like, well, we have that in common. Great, let's talk about the Beatles.
Yeah.
But I'm not random internet hate guy. I try not to just shit on people randomly.
Yeah, who's got the time for that? You know, put your energy into something constructive.
Yeah, start a podcast about dudes named Dave.
I guess a lot of the criticism is coming from what's going on out there right now, which is England is debating whether or not to withdraw from the EU. And a lot of the criticism comes from that the other countries are pulling down the economy of England. So it's, you know, roughly 50-50 and which way to go. But David Cameron is in favor of sticking with the EU. So I think that's where the criticism is coming from.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm not a politics guy. Just take it easy on old David Cameron. Let him have his Beatles picture.
All right, so coming up next, we have our guests, Josh and Melissa from the One With podcast, joining us for our featured Dave. So should we go ahead and get into that?
Let's get into it.
This week on Dave, our featured Dave is David Tennant, and joining us, we have special guests from the One With podcast. We have Josh and Melissa. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for joining.
Thank you for having us.
Now, we've talked before, and I know that you guys are big Who fans.
Yes. And
Melissa, you had said that David Tennant was your favorite of the Doctors.
He's my fave, yes.
Yeah, so it seemed like a natural to have you on for this episode.
Yes, we are fans of all of the Whovians, but he seemed to fit the demographic that was most likely to appeal to someone of my age and gender. So, and they were spot on. They nailed it. Like,
oh, did they?
Right on.
Well, he is easy on the eyes.
Yeah, he's okay.
I have boys that like him too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think that was by accident either. I think that casting choice, and we'll get into a little bit, because not only are we talking about David Tennant, we're also going to touch on Russell T. Davies.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Yeah, because he's one of the writers. And
yeah, writer, producer, and showrunner for the years that David Tennant was the Doctor.
That's right.
Yeah, they were a pair.
And they left together
at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And for the Dave show, how apropos.
Can you imagine my excitement when I figured that one out?
We
got double Daves.
Double Daves. Did you high five yourself? Which is really just clapping, but it counts.
I got a problem with Matt Smith. Matt Smith to me looks like Eric Stoltz in Mask. He looks like Rocky Dennis.
Oh no,
that's not fair. He's not as handsome as David Tennant, but you can't go Mask level of.
You kind of get the reference though, right?
Yeah, the ears don't help.
No, the curly red hair is what's throwing me off here.
I might get it to you. Oh, I'm sorry.
You can say what you want, but Matt Smith has an excellent hair. Like, flips over the exact right way.
Yeah.
It looks like a Ken doll, except in real life.
It does seem plasticky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's never out of place.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, there's something about that guy, and then it's a dude from the Insidious movies. Patrick something.
Robert
Wilson.
Was he? Was that it?
Patrick Wilson doesn't look like a human being to me.
Yeah. Patrick Wilson. I like the idea of Patrick Warburton in a horror movie.
Yeah.
I'm coming over to kill you.
Coming this way.
You should all run. Patrick, no, actually, I want to like, try and survive now.
Anyway. Like, Patrick Wilson looks like he was made in a lab from a mold, and then somehow that mold got warped a little bit, and then they made Matt Smith. Like, somebody dropped it on the face. They poured a little too much in the face area. That guy has a huge face, right?
Okay, now we are trying to endear ourselves to Doctor Who fans. This isn't really helping.
Well, and if you choose sides with doctors, there'll be some David Tennant fans that are very on your side there, bashing Matt Smith.
Yeah. Well, they did trade him in for a newer, younger model.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I think that the magnetism, like they always try and choose a different sort of thing that animates the doctor. And right. So like Tennant's thing was sort of the rugged sexuality and comedy, because Eccleston was all
dark and broody
and mad and anger, and that didn't work. Like that season is good and it sets up the companion, but it's not.
He's Dr. Anakin.
Dr. Anakin.
Yep.
Never heard it put like that, but it was like the best summation ever.
Yep. Yeah.
But, you know, before we go too deep into Tennant, let me just throw out a couple bullet points just to set the table for David.
Yes. Ooh.
He was born David John MacDonald on April 18th, 1971, in West Scotland. He became inspired to be an actor from watching Doctor Who as a child. And his big break came in 1994 when he was cast in the Scottish drama Taking Over the Asylum. He moved to London and did more TV. In 2005, his wish came true, and he was cast as the Doctor, replacing Christopher Eccleston, where he played the Doctor for 5 years over three seasons.
I kind of don't believe the thing about getting into acting because of Doctor Who. Like, it just seems too perfect. And I think most dudes get into acting because of seeing, like, George Clooney bang the hottest broad in the world. Like, or just guys driving like amazing cars, things like that. I have a feeling that acting bug is more just like the oh, that seems easy.
To be fair, all the doctors have kind of had a history of saying that. The new doctor that's currently the doctor said
Capaldi.
That he wrote like fan fiction. So they all try and tie themselves to the history of Doctor Who in some way. So that I think that was his story.
Or I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they're all British people and it's super, super huge in Britain. And it's kind of like saying, you know, I always really liked the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, they were a pretty good group.
Yeah,
that's a really good point. Yeah. I'm going to come up with like the weirdest stories for like, oh, how'd you get into podcasting? Yeah, Facts of Life theme song. Something about it clicked in my head.
I was looking around and I took the good and I took the bad. And then I realized I should podcast.
Took them both and then I had a podcast.
Well, that's the way it works. That is exactly how it works.
So where should we get started? I mean, where was your entry point into the Doctor Who, the new Who? Because this is a show that has 50 years of history.
Right.
And recently came back with Russell T. Davies rebooting the series with Christopher Eccleston, who only stayed on for 1 year, and then David Tennant came on after that. Where was your entry point?
They were in the third season, so Tennant was already started.
Yeah.
And then we went back and we watched, we did the thing that we always advise people to do and watch Blink, which has Tennant in it. And it's the best episode of Doctor Who from that run, but he's barely in that episode. And we watched it and we're like, oh, this is really good. And that gives you the steam to go back to the very first episode and start running through it. But I think we caught up before, like we were watching in live time when Tennant made his adieu.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you had actually started it way before I did. We have a bad habit of Josh starts sci-fi shows and then says, okay, you have to watch this with me. And then he has to go back and start over again so I can catch up, because we did that with BSG as well.
Yeah, Battlestar, that's true. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
But he's the one that he said, okay, fine, watch Blink. This is the best show. You're going to love it, I promise. And it was. It was great.
Dead. Don't turn your back. Don't look away. And don't blink. Good luck.
Although I think we'd actually seen Tennant in Harry Potter first. Yeah. We just didn't know it was
And he Tennant. He gets credit for being in the Harry Potter movie, and it's like he's in two scenes and he does a weird tongue thing and it's completely forgettable.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Every British actor is in the Harry Potter series, though.
Exactly.
All of them, yeah.
It's like the Lifetime Achievement Award for British acting. Just like, yeah, throw John Cleese in there.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't get the Queen, honestly.
like from one side she's waving, and in the back she's holding a wand behind her back or something.
Well, did you see she visited the Game of Thrones set, and everybody wanted her to sit in the throne. She wouldn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course not. It's the Queen.
She's not
She
fun.
Doesn't do stuff just because you want her to.
Obama would have sat in it.
Oh, totally.
With the American flag pin? For sure.
Yeah. Trump would have pulled a sword from the back.
He already does.
Oh. Yeah.
Bill Clinton would have been left alone. He would have wanted to be left alone with it for a while with his intern. It's like, you guys mind skedaddling for a little bit?
Oh my god. Yeah, you're not wrong there, probably.
Oh. Timely 90s reference. That's a 20-year-old joke that just came through time. That's thanks to Doctor Who and the time travel aspect.
Little known fact, there's a humidor on the backside of the Iron Throne that holds cigars. So bring the whole 90s joke all the way around.
Oh, cowabunga, dude. Well, speaking of cowabunga, David Tennant was Fugitoid in the new Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, when you are famous, you get to do voice acting gigs. Even like and no disrespect to David Tennant, if I was a famous actor, all I would take is like Pixar called, like, yep, I'm doing that job. Disney called, I'm doing that job. Like, I want to sit in my underwear and do voices.
It's kind of frustrating. Like, I recently just took my son to see the new Jungle Book, and it's like a voice actor would have done so much better than like some of the people in there. Like, what's her name? Lupita Nyong'o.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's terrible in it. She's not a voice actress. But they they throw in the name, and it's like, get Nancy Cartwright in there. She'd knock that shit out of the park.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, I feel like the stunt casting takes away from. Now I'm just going to tear down David Tennant for being a Ninja Turtle. Stunt casting takes away from the great voice actors.
Wasn't he also in How to Train Your Dragon?
Yes, he's one of the voices in How to Train Your Dragon too. The second one. He's like
both, I think. Because he's actually Scottish.
Right. So
when they did a cartoon that had Scottish Vikings, they cast him.
Yeah, his name is Spitelout Jorgensen.
Yep.
How weird does that have to be, though? Like, being the only Scottish guy? Like, that's got to be like being one black guy in like a room full of white dudes in blackface, right? Like, with their horrible overacting Scottish accents, just like, I'm a certain. Seriously, guys, it's not like that.
And the Scottish accent is so easy. Although, was it Craig Ferguson's in that?
Yeah.
And he's actually Scottish. He is.
And wait, what's his name?
Gerard Butler.
Yeah, he's probably Scottish.
Oh, that's
Scottish.
Right, yeah. He is, and he's the dad or something in that.
Yeah. Although, I think that we found the best credit for his voice acting work. He was Igor the Door, and I'm now back to talking about David Tennant.
Oh, right.
He was Igor the Door in Mickey Mouse Clubhouse Trick or Treat episode, which I have actually sat through and had no idea was him, so.
I didn't know that with the Ninja Turtles until I was doing research for this episode, and I was just like, man, I've seen all of those. My son is obsessed with the Ninja Turtles.
And we should also not lose track of the fact that he was in Jake and the Neverland Pirates. I mean, that's when you really arrived as a voice actor.
He'll just do anything, won't he?
Like I said, I'm already on board with his plan. Like, if the minute I'm famous, I'm never doing another podcast, and I'm only doing easy voice acting gigs in Hollywood. Like, just show up in a robe, record for an hour, and walk out.
You're going to become the dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even going to get dressed. The dude and Hugh Hefner are the only men that wear robes anymore.
Hi, my name's Doug Desquee, and I'm the host of the Gallifrey Stands podcast with my co-host, my dog, Dottie Who. Yeah, okay, my dog is my co-host and I call myself Dr. Squee, but wait, it's a really good show. Each week I interview a different person from the world of Doctor Who, from some of the Doctors themselves, Peter Davison, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, with a very special panel from Peter Capaldi, to some of the companions like Noel Clarke, Katie Manning, Sophie Aldred and many more. All this and Doctor Who writers, producers, makeup artists and so much else. And even if Doctor Who isn't your thing, we also have some great interviews from the stars from Star Wars, Star Trek, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, Red Dwarf, Blake Seven, Stargate and so many other shows. So as long as you're a geek, there's something in there for everyone. So please go to gallifreystandspodcast.podbean.com, iTunes, Stitcher, the Tangent Bound Network or Satchel Player to listen to over 100 episodes of Doctor Who fun. Just tell them Dottie Who sent you.
I'm James Hatton.
I'm Podcast Rob.
And we're from the Something Something cast. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, or Google Play Music.
Also, you can find us on somethingcast.com, on Twitter, at STSTcast, and also hashtag Podern Family, where all fine podcasts can be found. Hey, Hatton.
Yeah, Rob?
You know what today is?
No. What is today?
Today is the Dave we cut a promo for Green Korean and Octopus Caveman's new podcast, The Dave Podcast.
Oh, shit, is that to Dave?
It is indeed. You know, in this Dave and age of podcasting, it can be hard to find your own niche.
Yeah, but these guys spent Dave after Dave working their creative muscles to stand apart from every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yep, and it shows. I could listen to these guys all Dave, every Dave.
Any Dave. They're waiting for us to wrap up, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're probably wondering if we're just going to sit here and ramble all damn Dave.
I see what you did there.
Hey, speaking of voice acting, did you guys watch the two animated Doctor Who shorts that he did?
Oh, we own it on DVD.
I don't think I've watched it.
I watched it with Ben once. They're actually not bad. They're kind of that rotoscope animation style.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, not bad. Not great. Not great, yeah. But, you know, it's a little mini adventure from the Doctor and...
Martha.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite Doctor Who companion or for Tennant is the redhead that he did the Shakespeare stuff with.
Oh,
Catherine Tate, Donna?
Yes.
Dr. Donna.
Dr. Donna. I think that season without Rose is so fun, and it's interesting to see the Doctor. I like it when the Doctor's companion is a buddy and isn't a love interest or Same. Somehow romantically involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she stood up to him a lot, too.
Yeah.
Yes, and again, she had such comedic skill, I think she was able to be his equal.
Yeah,
well, but she's the reason we have Capaldi now, because she made him save Capaldi at Pompeii.
That's right. That's right. A weird tie-in, but the Doctor Who stuff gets away with that. Again, for the same Harry Potter reason, right, that there's only so many actors in all of England.
Yeah.
It's not actually that small, you know? Like it's pretty big.
At some point, John Oliver is going to be pulled out of America because he's contractually obligated to appear in so many BBC shows.
But that's one of the things I do love about Who is that they tie back to a lot of things that happened in the show. Like, I think Martha also appeared in an earlier episode with Christopher Eccleston, and they tied back to that, too. And even in the 50th, when David Tennant came back, they filled in the gap between the 8th and 9th Doctor.
Yes.
Because there's a number of years missing in between there, and they brought back Paul
the
McGann.
The War Doctor. Yeah.
Well, no, they brought back Paul McGann to regenerate into the War Doctor, and then the War Doctor eventually regenerated into Christopher Eccleston's Doctor. So I love how they connect all the dots with a very, very few loose ends with this show.
Oh, I haven't watched any of the Eccleston episodes, but he looks to me like he'd look perfect in like an Imperial officer's outfit, like on the bridge of a Death Star.
Yeah. Well, his whole storyline is that he's a doctor right after the Time War. So he's especially angry and especially focused. But I don't think it helps the storytelling of that season. In any real constructive way. It's actually much more the Billy Piper show in the first season because we're meeting Rose and getting her ready for her really long David Tennant arc.
Yeah,
I think David Tennant is so perfect for the series because he brings some of that lightheartedness to it that the show like desperately needs. It can't take itself too seriously or it gets goofy.
Yeah, but when it does go serious, like, it's heart-stopping. There are times where he is dead serious, and you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah. The
doctor's going to screw some people up here.
Yeah. And you really see the power of his acting. Like he's given several episodes where he really gets to flex his acting chops, and it's great.
Same thing as Fugitoid, man. There's an amazing arc.
The thing that Doctor Who does, and I think that Tennant's a part of some of these really long storylines that way, is the way that they will connect things that are three seasons apart. So they'll leave a plot, you know, hole dangling, and then all of a sudden close it 2 years later, so that fans that have actually watched it get that sort of super benefit for coming back to it and staying faithful to the show. And you're never going to make your true believers. In fact, if we're kind of talking about some of that Doctor Who and comedy, you know, tie-ins, that's what the Marvel Universe is doing, and the reason they're making all the money that Warner Brothers isn't making with Superman and Batman, because those movies are humorless. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy made so much money because there were jokes. Mm-hmm. You know, the same thing with the Avengers. Like, you know, like, get the laughs in there, and the people are much more likely to stay. That's Doctor Who's success, too. It's, you know, find a way to make a laugh happen so that people can enjoy the thing that they're watching.
Yeah. Well, and respecting their universe, you know, like the callbacks, like, you know, bringing What's-Her-Name back. I'm so bad, but they brought back that one old companion.
Sarah Jane?
Yeah.
Oh, what a great episode.
Yes.
And
yes,
K-9. Yeah. Don't forget K-9.
Oh, yeah. How can I forget? Well, I mean, they created spin-off series for both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Sarah Jane K-9's? Adventures and K-9, yeah.
There was a K-9 show?
Oh, yeah. There were a few spinoffs based on the success of Tennant's Doctor Who. They did Sarah Jane Adventures, which they wanted to do geared more towards kids. And they had a Saturday morning show, K-9, and Torchwood.
Torchwood I've seen. Torchwood I liked what I've seen of it.
Yeah. Oh, I dug Torchwood. Captain Jack's Adventures.
Yeah. Jane Espenson wrote a lot of Torchwood, right?
Yes. Yes, she did. Jane Espenson from Star Trek and Firefly.
From everything sci-fi, everything.
Yeah.
Do you know, she just recently found this out. It's coming out on our episode tomorrow, but she wrote two episodes of Dinosaur, the Henson's Muppet Show.
What?
That is, no, I'm not kidding. That's one of her first IMDb credits. Go look it up.
Oh, my God.
Shonda Rhimes, while you're at it.
I hope she wrote the last one where they all just die from the meteor. It's like, this will be a clever way to wrap it up.
That is the weirdest finale of all time. That such a weird thing.
It's super weird. I don't know if it's weirder than Alf, though.
Maybe not, when the family just turns and is like, yeah, the alien, they can capture you.
That's it. He's gone forever. The end. Good night, kids.
Is that how it ended?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I don't even think that they like ever put it out too. It's one of those things you have to track down through YouTube links and stuff.
That may be what happens when you have a cocaine fueled writing staff.
Yeah. Good point.
Hey, by the way, they also were planning a spinoff of Rose Tyler, but that one fell by the wayside. It was going to be Rose Tyler in that alternate dimension in her own little alternate Torchwood.
Yeah.
But then in the 11th hour, Russell T. Davies just said, I'm just too busy. Don't have the energy.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that.
What did Russell T. I don't know what Russell T. Davies went on to after he left Doctor Who.
Finished up with Torchwood and Sarah Jane Adventures.
He's actually rebooting Mask, and it's going to start back tonight.
First, they have to drop the mold on the floor to make sure that the...
Saving a lot on the makeup budget this time around.
You know, Russell T. Davies went on to do a couple of gay series for the BBC, which I think he's actually currently doing. And I can't remember the names of it. I looked it up earlier today. But one of them focuses on gay relationships between older men. And then he has a spinoff series that focuses on gay relationships with the younger, the millennials. And then there's a third documentary series that's a companion to those shows that actually discusses the issues that come up in those shows. That's what he's doing today.
Timeless.
Awesome. Yeah. I was going to say, while we're talking David Tennant, we wanted to mention that there's a, I'm pretty sure it's still on Netflix, it's called The Decoy Bride, which is like a 90s rom-com, which is, if you're a David Tennant lover, I think you will find great joy in watching. And then my wife, who does not like horror movies at all, enjoyed his performance in...
Oh, Fright Night! Yes!
Yeah, he's great in that.
We didn't know he was in it. We were just watching it because I remember it from my childhood, and it had a
Chekhov.
Yes, Anton Yelchin. Yeah. And Colin Farrell. Yeah. And suddenly the guy starts taking off, and Josh freaks out, and I can't figure out why he's freaking out with this guy who's taking off his makeup. And it isn't until he's all the way done before I even recognize Tennant.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah, he's been selective with his movie stuff, but I think his movie selections have been pretty good when he can get cast.
Yeah, I haven't seen him much in the movies. I mean, he's been mostly a TV guy. I mean, most recently, what is it, Broadchurch and Grace Point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jessica Jones. That was a big get for him, but he fit really well into the role.
Yeah, now I'm not that familiar with the actual character from the Marvel comics, so I don't know how well he portrayed it, but I do know that when he shows up in the series, that's when it gets interesting.
Yeah, yeah, you're not wrong there. And as I've read, I literally, and so did Melissa because she didn't have any choice. Yeah. Right. So sorry. I was a huge Bendis guy. And so when he started doing the Alias comic, I think it was issue 2 that I got. I have all of the original comics, and so like we would open them up and devour them an issue at a time. He is the perfect casting of the Purple Man, and you're right. When he shows up in that series, it suddenly sets off and gets going at great level.
Yeah, and for the people who don't know, the Alias comic is what Jessica Jones is based on. So if you go to the comic book store and you want to look up Jessica Jones, ask them for Alias.
Yes.
And they'll give you Jennifer Garner, who has new hair. And then they'll direct you to Ben Affleck, who's Batman, right? I think that's the circle.
That's the circle of comics, yeah.
Right, which comes around to Daredevil. And then
yeah.
Where they're both at. That was a perfect finish.
Yeah, hey, thanks.
And Daredevil knows Jessica Jones, boom!
Boom, right back.
Sorry, there's a game in there, but I'm not sure we could do a round 2.
Yeah, I don't think so. The nerd level went to 11.
I just feel like we pulled off the triple Lindy.
That's a reference to a movie starring Rodney Dangerfield called Back to School. You will have to go look it up, kids.
Oh, definitely. That's definitely worth your watch, kids. And enjoy Oingo Boingo in that movie as well.
I think we got all the Whovian stuff, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think in my head, like, recent movies that I've seen where he would have been better cast in that. Coming up kind of short. You guys got to help me out here.
David Tennant would have been great as the Vision.
I was just going to say that, but I love Paul Bettany too, so...
Yeah.
Could there be twins? Could we have Visions?
See, and I was just thinking with the Marvel stuff, it would have been great to have him be a character that would have some more longevity, you know?
Oh, yeah. Iron Fist.
Luke Cage. Just fuck it. Give it to Tennant. Throw the phone.
You know, I could have seen him in Star Wars Episode 7.
Oh yeah.
Playing some sort of Imperial bigwig.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, he'd be great in any of them. And plus, there's still plenty of Star Wars movies to come. He could be the bad guy that young Han Solo has to fight.
Yeah. Nope.
Cast him now.
No, Disney. Don't do that because I'll never see it. I don't want to see young Han Solo. Nobody does. It's just like young Indiana Jones. Nobody's going to care.
Yeah, well...
Yeah. River Phoenix cared. He was like, that's a great paycheck.
His Octopus Caveman's feeling on all the franchises is that if you just squeeze it too much and bleed it dry, that eventually they're just going to get worse and worse and worse.
Oh, so, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's called the point of failure, right? Where you succeed up into the point where you're no longer capable of succeeding.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're stuck in a job you hate for all of your life.
Or we're sitting in a theater watching Kid Jabba's Adventures or some kind of garbage.
Kid Jabba?
Totally want to watch. Sorry, you're wrong. I want to watch Kid Jabba's Adventures.
Yeah, I'm in too. I'm
Kid Jabba too. It could be like a Godfather story like arc where he's like a young Hutt working for another Hutt, trying to work his way up through the mafia. Oh man, we need to write Kid Jabba.
Can we make it a buddy cop film with Jar Jar Binks? Jabba and Jar Jar?
It's got to be Salacious Crumb. That's his little partner.
Oh god. And we don't have to worry about it. Even if it's bad the first time it comes out, George Lucas will sweep back in, change it all. A couple years later, it'll be good.
Han shot first. Okay, so Tenet.
Yeah, and now you see how we came up with the idea for Dave. Random tangents. We throw silly stuff out there. Like, hey, that sounds like a good idea. Let's make it.
Love it.
Yeah, and you did not mention in your first episode David Duchovny, so that's to be corrected at some point too. So,
oh, dude, we got to do an X-Files episode at some point.
I could never get into the X-Files. I tried. I'm about half a season into season one and gave up. Yeah,
it's not bad. The thing is, the first seasons are where it's good because they stuck with the Monster of the Week format, which I'm a big fan of, where you could watch any episode from, say, the first three seasons, and there's no overarching story arc where you feel like you're missing out on something. You could tune in, watch an episode, and it's done. Monster of the Week format works. Nobody's doing it anymore, but it needs to come back.
Oh, no, iZombie. Go watch it. Monster of the Week every week.
Oh, I got to check that out then. I will definitely check that out.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a procedural with an overarching mystery, well-balanced.
Based on a comic book, so it's got comic book cred.
It does. And it was a backdoor promotion for our other podcast, iZombie, You Zombie. But we actually watch the TV show and cover it. So, but no, they have a bad guy every week. It's actually a really good procedural mixed. It balances both sides. Hmm. But now I feel bad because you're like, oh, I never trust zombies. And now I feel like I've got on the zombie edge.
No, I've got a recommendation for this one, so I'm going for it. Nobody's recommending some of the awful garbage on Netflix to me.
Except
have
for
you
Netflix.
Seen Zombie Stripper University?
Oh, right. Wait, did you think that was gonna be good? Like, at what point does common sense kick in?
I thought there might be boobs, okay?
Fair enough.
Do you remember being a kid and you'd watch a movie just thinking that there might be boobs just because of the video quality? And then you just find out it's just a crappy movie?
Hots.
Yes, exactly. Exactly like that.
I had a cool babysitter when I was younger, so...
Or Zapped. That's another one. You're just waiting for it, but it just doesn't pay off.
Hey, there are boobs in Zapped.
Are there boobs in Zapped? It's been a while.
Because he uses his psychic power to make her shirt fly open.
Yeah.
And I thought there was just bra in Zapped.
I think there are real boobs.
I think there are real boobs, too.
And having said that, I love the gender flip, because when they came back and did the Zapped reboot, that's a real yes. I just said, it was a young woman who had the power. So hopefully she ripped boys' pants open so that she could stare at their dong.
They did a Zapped reboot?
Yep, that's directed by Peter DeLuise.
I'm sorry to break it to you. It's a fantasy I'm sure many men have that we're just sitting around hoping their pants fly open.
Like, you don't even have to really wait nowadays. According to Aziz Ansari, we'll just text you pictures of it
all the time.
And let's wrap up our talk about Tenet.
Oh, goodness.
So I'll put a cap on it by throwing out just a couple quick fun facts about David Tennant. Did you know that he met his wife on the set of Doctor Who?
Yes, and she's the daughter of another doctor.
She's the daughter of Peter Davison, the fifth doctor.
Hey, David, wait a minute.
Yeah, David's son?
I know, yeah.
It's David's daughter, though.
Oh, David's daughter. Son, not David.
David,
yeah.
David's daughter, not David's son.
I saw what you did there.
Yeah.
That's actually a thing that they do in Nordic culture. You just, the daughters don't stick around because they tend to marry and change their names. But that's actually a thing they do. So when you meet somebody and it's like, you know, Swanson, there was also Swan daughter. I'm Nordic,
really?
So I'm Nordic, so I know this stuff. And looking at my family tree, it's nuts. Yeah, you see that stuff
so
on
is
there.
Is it Octopus
like,
Daughter? Is that, that seems
Octopus
like a really
daughter.
Bad Beatles
That's
song.
It. Yeah, Octopus Cave Daughter.
Let's see, we got, he changed his name to David Tennant from the lead singer of the Pet Shop Boys, Neil Tennant.
Really? Oh!
So that's where David Tennant comes from.
Oh.
Because he has awful taste in music.
Come on, man. He grew up in the 80s. He was born in 71.
He just needs a West End boy.
Who's all about that band? Like, yeah, the Eastern Boys and the West End Girls? Like, that's an okay song, but to, like, make your... That can't be anybody's favorite band, can it?
People speak Klingon. Like, yes, that is someone's
point.
Favorite band.
Touche. I guess it's David Tennant's favorite band. That's a bummer, man. I want that guy to be into classical music, not be like, yeah, I changed my name because I love the Pet Shop Boys. That's crazy.
Well, you make those decisions in the 80s, and you know.
I guess so, says the guy that calls himself Octopus Caveman.
Well, wait, that's not your given name?
It was originally Octopus Cave Daughter, but I changed it.
Let's see. His favorite doctor is Tom Baker, and he is also a big fan of Firefly.
Yeah. Oh,
so he
nice!
Has, that's good. He has good taste.
Yeah.
Or he was sucking up to Joss Whedon to try and get in Avengers.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. It worked for the Doctor Who thing. He's like, yeah, you know how I got into acting?
Doctor Who. All right, so let's roll into our game.
Ooh, yeah!
We
are going to play a game of Password. And the theme of the Password is Doctor. So if you two wouldn't mind taking out your headphones... And give us, say, a minute, 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. So we'll come... I got it. We're both stepping out of the room for a minute, 30.
Yeah, and Octopus Cave...
Okay, wait a minute. In fact, I'm going to turn down my volume starting now, and we'll go 2 minutes.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and play Password. The theme is Doctor. We're going to put 1 minute on the clock. Okay. Are we ready, buddy?
Let's do this.
Okay, and... Okay, so this doctor is a cola beverage.
Dr. Pepper.
Okay, and this doctor is going to be a movie coming out later this year.
Dr. Strange.
And this doctor likes to talk to animals.
Dr. Doolittle.
Okay, this doctor appeared in Grey's Anatomy.
Dr. McDreamy.
Okay, and this doctor healed people out on the frontier.
Dr. Quinn, medicine woman.
And this doctor eats fava beans.
Dr. Lecter, Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
Okay, this doctor is... Okay, pass that one. This doctor hangs out with Sherlock Holmes.
Dr. John Watson.
Okay, and this doctor was the medical doctor on the Enterprise.
Captain Dr. McCoy. Bones.
No, the other one. Picard.
Dr. Crusher.
Okay, this doctor... All right, that's a minute.
We did all right, man. I got weirdly intense for that.
It's the music.
All right, I think... Dr. Quinn, medicine woman? What a pull.
Well done. Okay, let's bring Josh and Melissa back to the show. I think we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think we got 7 of them. Eight. We got 8.
All right. We just turned the volume back up.
Okay.
Melissa used the bathroom, but I did not because I thought it would help me have energy.
Yeah, it'll be more intensity.
Yes, like a passion to get it accomplished.
Now, here's what you're up against. We got 8.
Out of?
10.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so the theme is Doctor.
The theme is Doctor. We're going to set the clock for 1 minute.
Okay.
The game begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop. So
Pepper.
Yes. Benedict.
Arnold.
Cumberbatch.
Oh, Doctor Strange.
Talks to animals.
Doctor Doolittle. Doctor.
Yes. Patrick Dempsey.
Dr. McDreamy. Dr. Derek Shepherd. Why did you have to die?
And the lady that did. She did stuff in the 1800s. I'm skipping.
Okay.
Chianti.
Ooh, Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
You're never getting that one. Elementary, my dear.
Dr. Watson. Do I have to say doctor?
NPH. You have to say doctor.
Oh, doctor.
the TV show.
Yeah, no, with the musical and the.
And he's and then.
Dr. Doogie Howser.
We draw the line here, no further.
Dr. Picard.
No, the girl that he was really interested in with the red hair.
Dr. McFat. No, Beverly Crusher.
Yeah. Dr. Nick, you wouldn't have got. I couldn't think of
something. Who's Dr. Nick?
He's from Simpsons.
Hi, we don't watch everybody. Simpsons.
Yeah.
Okay, 1800s.
Yeah. Oh, I was trying
anything.
To. Anything. The actress's name is.
Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman?
Yeah.
You suck.
Nice. Nice.
She's so smart, and I'm so bad at this. I think we lost 7-8, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the sound effect, though, for the Dr. Lecter, though. That was amazing. And it's Jane Seymour.
Yes, it is Jane Seymour. That's what I was trying to think, and I was, like, blanking on her name.
No, what you said was 1800s. I was thinking, like, Marie Curie, like, actual 1800s
legitimate
women.
Doctors.
Real doctors.
I'm so embarrassed. Like, I'm coming out of the closet as a huge Dr. Quinn fan.
Oh, he nailed that one like that. That's true. He even included Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
You don't just say Walker. It's Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yes. Everything, even the colon.
Yeah, and I didn't even try Doogie Howser. I wasn't even sure how to approach that one.
You could have just hummed the theme song. I would have nailed it.
Gosh. NPH is the best.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance, go watch his opening for the Tonys.
No, the thing that screwed me up there was I thought it was Dr. Horrible.
Oh,
you're right.
NPH has two doctor roles.
Oh my goodness.
Right.
But,
you know why? He has a PhD in horribleness.
I like to think of Doogie Howser as a prequel to Dr. Horrible. I'm going to rewatch that show just thinking that now.
When he gets older, he's totally going to punch Nathan Fillion in the face.
I wonder how that, remember Doogie Howser's little Italian friend?
Yes.
Vinny.
Yeah, I wonder how that kid's doing.
He grew up to be John Travolta. Vinny Barbarino, you might have heard of him.
You know, the 90s was littered with the best friend. Like, I was thinking, what's your name on Full House? And who's the other?
Kimmy Gibbler. Yep.
And the other kid that grew up to on, what is it, Fred Savage's little buddy.
No, Paul. Years.
Paul, yeah.
Paul Saviano.
Yeah. And didn't he grow up to be Marilyn Manson?
No. That's a rumor.
Yeah.
He's a lawyer.
For Marilyn Manson?
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know.
If his money's green.
What about Charles in Charge, his buddy, Buddy? Didn't that guy go missing?
I know he had a big garage sale one time because he was raising money.
Oh, no.
I bought his toaster.
What about Kirk Cameron's buddy, Boner?
Oh, yeah.
How did that get on TV? For the record, I believe... Oh, no, sorry. I was just double-checking. Willie Ames is still alive. We're good.
Yes.
Oh, good for him. Oh, man, I thought he went missing or something at some point.
I get him confused with Leif Garrett.
Yeah. Ooh, this is from December 15th of 2013.
Yeah.
Willie Ames finds second life as a cruise ship director.
Oh.
He's just doing the reality version of The Love Boat.
Yep. And here's the other news story. March 27th, 2009. Charles in Charge as Willie Ames holds garage sale.
See? I told you it was a big deal.
I loved that it was a news story.
My favorite Willie Ames news is that he was in one of my favorite cartoons as a kid, Dungeons and Dragons. Do you remember the one where the four kids are in Amusement Park and then end up in the world of Dungeons and Dragons? He was one of the voices.
I didn't know he was in that. I used to love that. We got to do a whole Willie Ames show somehow. I hope his middle name is David.
You just need to be able to, like, honorarily change people's names to David for an episode.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could follow their lead because they did Friends for the whole run and then eventually just changed it. So we could do Dave's for a while, then change the name to Willie.
We'll have, like, two people.
No. One-Eyed Willie. I mean, there's so many Willies.
From the Goonies?
Yeah,
Nelson?
Willie, Tyler, and Lester?
Start talking about dicks. Willie.
So Richard is next.
Oh, I could do 3 hours on Richard Simmons. I love that man. If you guys don't follow him on Twitter, you are missing out. It is one of the most joyous experiences of your life. His tweets are amazing. It's things like, I love roses. Do you ever put a wet rose on your face?
Okay.
That'll be the entire tweet. You're just like, what the hell does that mean, Richard? Like, that's the weirdest thing ever.
You know what? That's a great segue. Let's get into our Dave of the Week. It's time to learn the days of the week. It's time to learn the days of the week. It's time to learn the days of the week. All right, so Dave of the Week is a segue.
How does that segue?
because it needs to.
Because we were talking about Richard Simmons' tweets. Yes. And Dave of the Week is a segment where I will bring up a Dave that I found on Twitter. Octopus Caveman will bring up a Dave that he found on Twitter. And we're going to have a Dave off. And
nice.
And we would ask you two to be our judges for the Dave off.
We're ready to judge. We are going to be the Waldorf and Statler. Little known fact, both their first names, David. Not true. I made it up, but
you can true enough for this podcast. Buddy, you want to go first since you won the last one?
Sure. I've got a hashtagger, Dave, at Mr. Dave Hudson. He's Davey Gravy. All right. I thought this was funny. The hashtag was boring blockbusters, Toastbusters. This one made me laugh out loud. Boring blockbusters again, Hobocop.
Does he arrest himself? I don't
for public urination.
You gotta move along, self. I'm gonna move along.
Bindle staff,
yes. instead of a gun? Instead of a nightstick. Nightstick. Anyway, that sounds like a really bad Russell Crowe movie. Sorry.
Let's see. Here's just a couple of random tweets from him. I'm gender druid. I heal both chicks and dudes.
I'm not that proud of my penis, but I like where he's going.
It's a good attempt. Want to have a beach body? Just go to the beach and dig up that body you buried there last fall.
Oh, dark.
Hashtag hospitalize a movie, The Bruised Brothers.
Yeah.
Okay.
That works.
This was great. Hashtag ruin a kid's show. The Electric Chair Company. Same hashtag ruin a kid's show. Hellatubbies.
So he must be a fan of After Midnight.
Yeah, he plays their tags and then a few of the other hashtag games.
Yeah.
He's great, though. Davey Gravy at Mr. Dave Hudson.
And if you ever find yourself in Texas, make sure you stop at the Electric Chair Museum, which is somewhere between Dallas and Houston. And it is a real place where you can check out different electric chairs throughout the ages.
Oh, of course that would be in Texas.
Surprised no one.
That is amazing. I have to go. I'll bet the seats stink, right?
Oh.
It would not surprise you to know that it's across from a penitentiary, would it?
And not like
they just walk them across and they're like, pick your poison.
Plug that one in. He picked that.
I'd pick the one with the hand crank.
I believe they call that Frankenstein's chair.
Frankenstein's chair sounds like a sex move I want no part of.
I didn't see it that way until you said it, but okay. I want no part of it either.
Okay. I already give up, man. Give you the crown. Those were solid hashtags and tweets. I really like my guy. He's at Nine Daves. He's Dave Quinn.
Wait, is it at Nine Daves or is it just at Dave, 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 Dave?
Too long.
You know, to tie it back into David Tennant, I just curiously looked up at Proper Dave from that episode, Silence in the Library, Doctor Who. And the whole list of tweets is, hey, who turned off the lights? Hey, who turned off the lights? That's all he tweets.
I like commitment to a single joke over and over and over.
So if you're familiar with that episode, you're laughing your ass off.
Well, it was the beginning and the end of Dr. River Song.
Yeah. Yeah, the first time we saw her, and then she... Yeah, you're right. Oh, which is just a mind-bender.
When you try it to follow is!
Dr. Song's story. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Okay, so here's my Twitter, Dave. I got at nine. I'm just thinking Dave, 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 Dave. At Nine Daves, Dave Quinn says, my job asked me to find black and white pictures of New York for the office, and were oddly unhappy with my choices. And he has pictures of New York from Flavor of Love.
Oh, God.
No.
Black and white pictures of New York. let's see. He also had, while watching the music awards, I'm still really uncomfortable with Blake and Gwen's relationship.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
No, I'm uncomfortable too. That's what I'm saying. It's something weird about it. It ain't right.
I actually just feel bad for Gavin Rossdale, who's like sitting around being like, can we get Bush back together? And the guys from Bush are like, kind of busy, man. It's all right.
We're good.
You don't want to get Bush back together? You don't want to follow that?
I think if he could have stayed away from the nannies, it would have been okay.
Yep.
So you got it. It was a different Bush problem.
Yeah.
We need more tweets from Nine Daves.
Okay. How about, you know, I just realized I more so agree with his tweets rather than I'm finding them funny. He says, I'm not sure how anyone makes it through an episode of Botched without gagging at least two or three times.
I don't know that show.
I don't either.
It's all about plastic surgery disasters.
Oh, okay.
It's a reality show. Yeah.
Yeah. I can assume the rest. That sounds terrible.
Let's see. All caught up on Arrow, and I still don't understand why they don't just call the Flash to fix everything.
Amen. The shared universes get crazier and crazier. Like, wait a minute. Daredevil, Jessica Jones is like two blocks over. She could help you.
Yes. Yes. I'm getting desperate. I'm looking up other tweets from Dave Quinn. I'm looking for some good. The reason why I thought that I would have this one in the bag is because he's a huge Broadway fan, and he goes on a whole list of tweets about Hamilton.
Yes.
But now I can't find them. So, but I think I've already conceded. Let's leave it to the judges. Judges, who do you think wins this week's Dave Off? Are we going to go with at Mr. Dave Hudson, or are we going to go with at Nine Daves?
I'm going to say at Mr. Dave Hudson won what we were privy to, but I like at Nine Dave's name better, and I feel like we should all at some point in the next week just tweet at him his own name nine times. Just at some point he's like, am I going crazy? Why are people doing this? Not what I intended.
Yes.
So in a way, does that mean I won?
Yes.
I'm all for it.
We'll call it your Pyrrhic victory.
Okay, I'll take it. I'm not a proud man. I'll take it. I found him because I was trying to look up eight Daves a week.
Oh, yeah.
And nine Daves is what came up. Okay, so tell the people out there about your show. We've had a great time having you on. Let's tell them where they can find you.
You can find us on the One With Podcast. And we are a pop culture TV focused show.
Yeah, or you could always hit us up on our Facebook page, The One With Podcast.
Or tweet at us. I'm at Josh Solback.
at Melissa Solbach.
And thank you. Give us a shot. Don't listen. There's a special hell for people who download the first thing you recorded 5 years ago. Don't do that. Go listen to something new.
Yeah, because the show has really evolved, especially about recently. It's evolved into something beyond Friends. The show started as a Friends podcast. So if you want to go back and watch episode by episode with them, you can do that. But now it's a
pop culture, TV, film, just anything that everyone's talking about.
Or that just strikes our fancy.
Yes, and lots of games.
Yeah. We just have fun. That's really all it boils down to. Which, by the way, we've had a ball on tonight's show.
Yeah, we're going to change our name tomorrow. Melissa's going to be Dave, and then I'm going to change my name to Dave, and then we're going to get Dave married. I said V, right? That V came out. Dave married?
Uh-huh. You know, there's actually a movie, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Have you seen that trailer?
So much. I have so many things that I think about that trailer.
Well, okay, share your thoughts.
Oh, wait. Is this shirtless Zac Efron?
Yes. With Adam Devine. And
there was somebody else.
It was so well played. I literally was looking at her face when she said it, and I thought, "How do you? We just watched this the other night. There are girls in it, but who cares about that anyway?"
That's how I'm gonna buy my movie ticket when I go see it. One for shirtless Zac Efron. Show up in sweatpants.
I think you got to go full robe. I think this is a full robe performance. Yes, I cannot wait for that movie to come out.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Sorry, not the robe, the movie.
Sorry, guys, I go with you, but that's going to be a solo mission.
Fair enough. We need you to take that hill.
Well, we would love to have you back on when we eventually get to Mr. David Schwimmer.
You bet. Love it. Yes.
You bet. And we will defend the Schwimm. I like all the movies he's directed. So you bet. Thank you.
It's been a blast having you on.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. So what do you want to do for our next step?
Let's do the episode 19 of season 5 of Rescue Me, David.
All right, that sounds good. I'm a fan of Rescue Me. I'm a fan of Dennis Leary. So we could go off on some Dennis Leary tangents. And Peter Tolan was one of the writers on that show. And he also wrote the Larry Sanders Show, I think.
I have seen none of this show.
It's a good show. You'll dig it, man. You'll dig the episode.
I can talk about Dennis Leary for a while. And it might be fun to just talk about the show. I'm into watching it, having not seen any of it. I think it might be funny. This is season 5, episode 19.
And I think the show ran for 7 seasons, so you're catching it kind of close towards the end when they were starting to wrap up storylines. So,
Really good episode, 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb.
All right, so let's go with David for the next episode.
Yes.
The David episode of Rescue Me.
Don't miss next week. This is going to be bananas.
All right, buddy. Good hanging out with you again.
You too.
And as always, we thank the listener for tuning in to Dave. If you would like to follow us over on Twitter, you can find us over at Dave Podcast. Our website is davepodcast.com. Our email address is dave@davepodcast.com. Okay, buddy. Well, let's call it a night. You want to close it out?
I'm Octopus Caveman.
I'm the Green Korean.
Like sands through the hourglass, these are the Daves of our lives.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows.
These are the Daves.